His life was revolutionized. You see, we are country club mentality people. So let's not act like we have it all together. And let's pretend that Lakeside is a place where maybe somebody could meet Jesus. Are you satisfied? I'm beginning to see the light.
Thanks, Jonathan, for reading that. Good morning, everyone. Good to see each and every one of you. I met some people that I haven't met before, and so very thankful for if you're here for the first time or here for first time in a long time. We're really humbled. I know I've had nightmares sometimes in the middle of the night, and I wake up in a cold sweat, and nobody showed up for the church service, and so I had to preach it to my wife again. So that's she doesn't want that to happen. So we're very thankful, really humbled. Adam mentioned we're starting a series on the parables, and so if you have your Bible or if you have your insert in your Bible, pull it out. Or if you have a device, pull up a Bible program. There's free Bible programs out there. And if you don't have one on your electronic device, come see me or Adam or somebody here, and we'll show you how to download a free one. It's really great to have the Word very readily at your disposal. So today we're starting a series on the parables. And there are about 40 or so parables in the Gospels. And some people would say there's 36, another person would say there's 43, but somewhere around 40, depending on how exact you're being. It's very interesting. All of the parables are found in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. There isn't a parable found in the Gospel of John. I haven't really studied out to find out why that is, but that is a truth. And so today we're going to start with the very first parable that Jesus spoke in Matthew chapter 13. Now, just so you know where the word parable comes from, and I don't want to take anything for granted here, I'll give you the definition of the word here in just a second, but let me break down the word parable for you. The New Testament was originally written in the Greek language. And the word parable, our English word, comes from two words out of that original language. So para means beside, and balo means to place or to throw. And so a parable literally is to place alongside. And for our purposes, this is a layman's definition that really works for me. A parable is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. So often when Jesus would teach, he would be outdoors and he would see something in nature or something going on, and he would point the disciples or the Pharisees to that, and then he would teach a deep spiritual truth out of that common everyday occurrence. So it's always, in the 10 we'll look at, there's going to be an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. Now, we're not going to go back here, but in Matthew chapter 13 is the first parable he tells. It's also found in Mark and Luke. And he started telling and teaching truth through parables in his second and of 3 years of ministry. And if you read Matthew 12, we're not going to take the time this morning. Jesus is teaching, he's being very generous, he's being very kind, and he's teaching truth, and the Pharisees and the scribes are nipping at his heels all the time. And in Matthew 12, he heals a deaf, mute person, and the Pharisees go, "That was just Satan doing that. That wasn't God, that was Satan." And Jesus had had enough with them, and from that point forward, he started teaching in parables. And he says in Matthew 12, "I'm going to teach in parables so the ones that have a true heart for me will understand. Those that don't have a true heart for me will be bewildered." They're not going to get the parable. And so we have the parable of the sower in Matthew 13, or the parable of the soils. And so if you put all three gospel accounts together, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, I've done that some of that study for you this week. Let me point out a couple of the particulars of the parable, and then we'll get into the heart and the meat and the practical part of what God has for us. So just a couple of things about this parable that Jonathan just read. Number one, the sower in the parable, if you read all three gospel accounts, is Jesus Christ. And when it's not Jesus Christ, it's his followers. It's the believers that are following him that are called to be ambassadors for him. And so they are either the Lord himself in the parable or his followers, and they're casting seed. They're the ones that are sowing. And so you get the visual picture. Back in those days in Israel, what they would do is the sower would have a sack with seed in it, and he would just broadcast the seed by hand. And then what was unique to that day and age, generally, they would broadcast the seed, and then they would plow the seed in. So they would broadcast the seed first, and then they would plow the seed in. So Jesus is the sower. Now, I just want to stop right here, and just as I have been able to worship as Nathan's led for two services, my heart has really been encouraged, number one, by the music that he chose, the worship songs, but in thinking about the Savior. Because we're going to find out from this parable that Jesus goes about throwing seed in all different kinds of soils. And so when we start analyzing the different kind of soils here, I'm just so thankful that we have a Savior who came down and didn't snub really anybody, that he's saying, no, I came to seek and to save the lost. And so we have a gracious Savior, don't we? Amen. I mean, I am so thankful. I was sitting back there in the second service and trying to make sure I had enough energy to like lay it out here for you in this service. I was just thinking, I am so thankful that as a 20-year-old that the Lord never gave up on me in my life, and like he sent people to sow the seed of the gospel into my life so God could transform my life. Are you thankful for that? I am so thankful for that. So the sower is Jesus Christ, and now those that are followers are the sowers. The seed, and I want you to see this from the parable itself, the seed is the actual Word of God, or what we might call the gospel. In this account, it's called the Word of the Kingdom. So Jesus is coming, and he's saying, look, I am God, and I will be your Savior. I'll go to the cross, but I'm also Lord. I'm the God who created you, and I have a kingdom that I'm going to rule over. I want you to be a part of that kingdom, but you have to admit that you're a sinner in need of a Savior and see me as Lord and Savior. And so the seed is the gospel. It's the good news of Jesus Christ's death, burial, and resurrection for sinners like you and like me. But just look, I want to show you from the parable itself. It says in Matthew 13 and verse 19, as for what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word. The word is what was sown. And then if you skip to verse 22, as for what was sown among the thorns, this is the one who hears the word. Verse 23, as for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word. So it's the word. It's the gospel. It's the good news of Christ. And Jesus first, and then his disciples after, are sowing the gospel seed everywhere that they can sow it. As much seed as they have, they're just broadcasting it out there. Now, there's something very interesting about this seed. I'm not sure we have any farmers in here this morning. We did in the first service. But let me read about the special quality of the gospel seed that's planted. It says in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12, for the word of God is living and it's active, and it's sharper than any two-edged sword. It pierces to the division of the soul and the spirit of the person, of the joints and the marrow. So it gets in as far as anything can get in, and it's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. So the seed itself has a penetrating quality to it. So today you'd have a 30-row planter or 32-row planter or 16-row planter or whatever, and the planter would actually drill that seed into the ground. And it's not that God's Spirit is not going to do that, but the seed that's being broadcast, the gospel, it has a penetrating quality all to itself, and it wants to do a work. So we can know, you can know, no matter where you're at in your relationship with God, that God wants to penetrate into your life. He wants you. He wants all of you. Now the soil, and this is the most important for our purposes this morning, the soil is your heart and my heart. I want you to just look at verse 19. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. And then the other gospels will bring out this emphasis of the soil is your heart. So the emphasis of the parable this morning is on the quality of the soil or of your heart. So today, God's word, this parable, is very personal between you and God. It's very personal between me and God. And so God, through His Spirit, through Jesus and Matthew recording this, He's aiming for your heart this morning. He's aiming for your heart. So I just want to just encourage you, just right now, before you hear anything else about this particular parable, I just want you to just quietly say, Lord, I want you to do a work in my heart, but I also want you to show me my heart. Jeremiah wrote that the heart is deceitful and it's desperately wicked. Who can know it? And God is saying, Jesus is saying in this parable, I want you to know your heart. I don't want you to be fooled. I don't want you to think it's worse than it is. It's better than it is. I want you to know your heart. So God wants to do a soil sample of your heart today. Now, the Lord desires your whole heart. That's very clear all the way throughout Scripture. Psalm 119 and verse 2 would be a great verse to memorize. Blessed are those who keep His testimonies and who seek Him with their whole heart. So that's what He wants. Yesterday, I went to the Iowa State football game. They actually won. That's a thing to cheer about today. I know there's not that many Cyclones out there, but they actually won. But in the section I was sitting in, section 16, at the end of the first quarter, they put a sign up on the screen, and this in big bold letters, and the screen was big, "Will you marry me?" And so somebody was getting proposed to, and it looked like down about three or four sections from where I was sitting, there was a lot of commotion, people standing up, and this. They never got the camera on the person that was apparently proposing. So I don't know if it went good or bad. Maybe they thought that there was a debate about that. But that reminded me, and we had a beautiful wedding here yesterday with Kayla, a young girl that came up through the youth group, and Isaac Develoy, and it was just a beautiful thing to be a part of. But that's unlike the heart of a girl a man once proposed to. And so I'm just get down on my knees. I said in the first service, I don't think anybody would ever propose with their arm on a pulpit. That's not their most romantic thing, but it's here, so I'll lean on it. So think about this, the heart of the girl a man once proposed to. Darling, I want you to know that I love you more than anything else in the world. I really want you to marry me. I'm not rich. I don't have a yacht. I don't even have a Rolls Royce like Johnny Brown. But I do love you with all of my heart. And then she thought for a moment. And then she replied back to him, I love you with all my heart too. But could you tell me a little bit more about Johnny Brown? undivided heart. So God wants us to take a couple of moments and just take a sample of our hearts. Each and every one. It doesn't matter if you've been to church all your life, first time to church ever in your life, where you're at in your relationship with God, this soil sample is for each one of us. So I'm going to go through the four soils that are mentioned in this parable. We're going to have to kind of just give a couple of characteristics and move on. But every one of these soils, every one of these hearts, there's going to be four of them, represents everyone in this building. So I think God wants you to know, as I just lay out a few characteristics, the Holy Spirit's going to have to do some work, that you are one of these hearts. That's what I think God wants to impress in this parable. So let me give you the four soils. You allow God to do a soil sample on your own heart. So the first soil that's mentioned in verse 19, I'm just going to be very simple here, is the hard soil. It's the hard soil. Look at verse 19. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown. What has been sown in his for him to hear. He takes away the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. So here's the soil that's hard. Now again, let me give you a visual picture of Israel. They didn't have fences. If you go over there today, there's a couple of rock walls that might be about that high, but they would have fields. It's an agrarian society. They'd have fields all over the place, and they would have well-traveled paths between the fields. And if you were going to go from here to Ankeny, you would walk, you would go through a series of people's property, and you'd walk on the path. So those paths are over there. So this guy's broadcasting seed, and some of it falls on this well-traveled path. It's traveled by many people's feet. Matter of fact, in that culture and that climate, the path would have been hard as concrete. And so I just want you to picture somebody broadcasting seed, and it lands on concrete. Probably somebody's heart here, that's the description. God wants to speak into your life, and your heart is as hard as concrete. And the fault is not with the sower or the seed. God lays the fault on your heart. Matter of fact, if you think of the footpath, it's soil that is unplowed intentionally. So the couple of words that I'd use to describe this soil is the seed goes on but never in. So this person has heard the gospel, maybe they've listened to a podcast, maybe they went to church when they were younger, maybe they've gone to church all their life, but they've left unaffected or unchanged. The word never really gets past scratching the surface, and the good seed really is nothing more than bird seed. That's what it says. In my mind, I visualize it being easier to plant corn on Highway 415 or Interstate 8035 than for the gospel or for God's word to get through this heart. This is the closed-minded hearer. Now, if you have a Bible, I just want you to go up a couple of verses. If you don't, just listen in as Jesus talks about this person in chapter 13, verse 14 and 15. Indeed, in their case, the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled that says, you will indeed hear, but you're never going to understand, and you will indeed see, but you're never going to perceive. And then verse 15, for the people's heart has grown dull to the things of God, and with their ears they can barely hear, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and turn, and I would heal them. So you have the sower wants to do a work in that person's life, but it's like throwing seed on concrete. Then the devil comes and snatches it away. So church would be a have to, not a want to. Pride would enter in and say, I don't really need help. That is for weak people. I wonder if there's anyone here today who is such a person. Soil number two. The rocky. That particular soil, back up just a second, I think it was probably even on the screen. Two words would describe the hard soil, and that would be unreceptive and unresponsive. So Jesus clearly trying to lay out where he's trying to do a work in somebody's life and it goes nowhere. There's no response and it's not even received. The second soil is the rocky soil. It's found in verse 20 and 21. Let me read Matthew 13, 20 and 21. As for what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures for a while, and when tribulation or persecution arrive on account of the word, immediately he falls away. So the word that I would use after studying this to describe this soil is the unrepentant heart. Now this soil looks so much better than the first soil, the hard path we talked about. And again, if you've ever been to Israel or a landscape like Israel, what you'll find in a 100-acre field is you'll find places where there's a couple of good feet of soil. But in a lot of the places, there's a limestone layer of rock that goes just under the surface and just runs parallel with it. So when you look, there looks like there's good soil, just like over there, but right underneath it is a layer of limestone rock. And that's what Jesus wants us to picture. So the second soil looks better, the second heart looks better on the surface, but it's deceptive soil. It's the polar opposite of the first, but it's deceptive. And I want you to notice in the verses that are listed here, there are two characteristics of this heart. And they don't seem wrong at first. Look at verse 20. As for what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word, and immediately, that's the first characteristic, with suddenness, receives it with joy, that's the second characteristic. So they hear what God wants to do in their life, and they're like, man, where has God been all my life? And I got so many problems, and I need Him to take all the problems out of my life. And there's an immediate attachment, there's an immediate response, there's great joy. But the one thing you don't read about in this particular soil is this particular person has never got to a point where they were remorseful for their sin. They're known for joy, and they're known for excitement. But they've never got low before God. Never. I can remember growing up highly religious, and when God brought me low, I realized I was totally lost, and it was very clear to me the day that I had to get low before God. He had done 99% of lowering me. I had to go the last 1%. In my will, I had to say, man, I need Christ. So this person is quickly receptive, but hardly repentant. So this, in this soil, in this heart, the seed goes in but not down. In but not down. There's an initial response, there's lots of excitement, there's lots of joy, but there's no repentance. And according to these verses, what happens to this heart is as soon as the heat comes on in somebody's life, that person falls away because there's no root in them. Probably the best illustration I could give you is I was pastoring at Sailorville during 9/11, hard to believe, 17 years ago now. And I remember being in the office in the morning, watching it on TV, and all of a sudden, people started coming in the driveway. People that used to drive by Sailorville just to go to work, and they'd come in, they'd be bawling, and they just wanted a quiet space where they could go. And I can remember church attendance for the first probably 6 months just spiked. We didn't have enough chairs for everybody, and people wanted to get right with God or whatever. And because there was a thing in their life, and they were insecure. But then when things got back to normal, the church, and this happened across the United States, the church attendance spiked almost double, and then within a year, it was almost back to where it was previous to 9/11. So maybe it's oh yeah, I need the Lord, and I'm going through a bankruptcy, or I need the Lord, my girlfriend is bailing on me, or I need the Lord for something like this, and there's an initial gravitation to it, but then things, circumstances just don't go right, and there's an immediate falling away. I guess the way I would describe this, and these are kind of maybe too black and white, but this person, God is a friend, but God is never feared. He's my friend. Man, he could do great things. But God's not really feared. And with this particular soil, this particular heart, there's no fruit. So the seed went into the ground, and it didn't go. The roots didn't go deep. So as soon as something came up, it just withered as soon as there was any kind of opposition. I wonder if there's anyone here with such a heart. The third soil is the thorny soil. Verse 22. As for what was sown among the thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. I would give you two words, I think, that describe the thorny soil. The thorny soil heart would be an unrestrained, or and again, I said in the first service, I may be inventing a word here because spell check didn't like this, but an unsurrendered heart. Would anybody this morning admit with me that you're not that great a gardener? That you've tried and failed? I mean, am I on an island here? I didn't take a class on this, but I know these things are true. Weeds will grow anywhere, won't they? They grow stronger and faster than the thing that I planted in the dirt. I don't even need to fertilize the weed, do I? It just comes up. They suck the moisture out of the soil. They drain it of the nutrients. They block the sunlight, and they choke the life out of anything that I just planted there. And so this particular soil, this particular heart, the word of God goes in, down, up, and then it's choked off. In, down, up, choked off. And God's very honest with us, and this is a word for American Christians and myself. In verse 22, there's two characteristics of the weeds. So we aren't left to wonder what the weeds are. The cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches. They choke the word. God wants to do a work in your life, in my life, and the cares of the world just overwhelm that. The deceitfulness of riches are chasing after the American dream, and they choke out what God wants to do in my life and your life. This is really the heart that has divided loyalties. It's the cluttered heart. James 1:8 says, "The double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways." This particular heart's never had a real reckoning with God, where there's an absolute surrender to God and His sovereignty, seeing Him as Savior, seeing Him as Creator, seeing Him as Transformer. To sing about Jesus alone would only be words. Many things are vying for the attention. Now, the gardener, tell me if this is true, loves flowers in the garden, right? Is that true? But the gardener, the real gardener, also hates weeds, amen? right? I mean, you can't be a good gardener if you don't love what you're growing and hate what's not supposed to grow, amen? I mean, I said, and I'm on record, so when I stand before the Lord, I mean, I've planted more gardens than I don't think I've ever harvested one. Matter of fact, at Sailorville, I can remember with my John Deere riding lawnmower, I've mowed over more gardens than I've ever, I mean, I'm shooting tomatoes probably that I couldn't see because of the weeds into my neighbor's yard. This person knows that the weeds are there, but he doesn't care enough about the garden to do anything about the weeds. He likes the idea of a garden. He loves what the garden could give him, but he's never committed enough to the garden to really have it change how they garden. This particular heart, there's lots of foliage. So you would say, man, there's a lot going on. I mean, they're going to church and they're in that Bible study and they might even be a deacon and they're running around here. They got the fish emblem on the back of their car. They might have Jesus tattooed up here where nobody could really see it, or maybe they put it down here on the wrist or whatever. But there's no real fruit in their life because of what Jesus said, the cares of the world, the deceitfulness of riches. Now, I just want to stop right there and I do need to move this to a conclusion, but I want to stop right here, and I want to get real with you. Because, again, I want to emphasize Jesus' love for everyone here, and he gave his life on the cross. I mean, does he need to prove his love to any of us? I mean, he gave his life. But this is serious business right here. He's talking about asking you to look at your heart and say, is there genuine salvation, repentance, relationship with Christ? Is it genuine? And the reason why I pause right here is because I just tried to do a mental exercise in my mind. So Lakeside Fellowship's been here 13 years, three or four baptism services every year, maybe, and this is just a round number, so it's not an accurate number, maybe we baptized 200 people that have stood here or out at the lake, or at a swimming pool, and they've given their testimony, and then they were baptized publicly. And I don't have the names of all of them, but if we had this hallway and say they signed their name when they got baptized, I wonder if I took those 200 names, and I'm not thinking of any one person, and I wonder how many of them are no longer following Christ. And so Jesus is talking seriously here about, in soils 2 and 3, about religious people who don't have a genuine, authentic, saving relationship with Christ. They have religion, but when they stand before the Lord, you read it yourself this afternoon in Matthew chapter 7, and Jesus talks in Matthew 7 about a tree is known by its fruit. And Jesus says in verse 23, you know, there are going to be people that stand before me, and he's going to say, depart from me, I never knew you. Those are church people he's talking about. So soil 1, 2, and 3, Jesus is saying there's no fruit. Now, I have to close with soil 4 here, spend a couple of moments on what is called the good soil. It's found in verse 23, and I want you to write beside there, this is not the perfect soil, this is good soil. That's the word that Jesus is going to use. As for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it. He indeed bears fruit. It's the only soil to bear fruit and yields in one case 100-fold, in another 60, and another 30-fold. Mark's account has a different way that he writes his verse, and I want you to see it. I have it up here on the screen. I really want you to think through this verse with me. So the verse 23 of Matthew 13 is the same as Mark chapter 4, verse 20, but listen how Mark records it. But those that were sown on the good soil are the ones who hear the word, number one, accept it, number two, and then bear fruit, 30, 60, 100-fold. So they hear the word, they accept it, and they bear fruit. The word accept, if you could mentally put a circle around that, or if you have your Bible or notes, you circle. It's a very special word. It literally means to take by the hand and bring to yourself. So our 12th grandchild was born 2 weeks ago in New Jersey. And my wife and I have not held that grandchild. They're coming out on Thanksgiving, so we're trying to hold off. My wife isn't in this service. I'm having a hard time holding her off. I'll just be honest with that. She wants to be out there. But when I do get to see Leon, that's his name, when I get to see Leon for the very first time, I can guarantee it's going to be a fight between Deb and I who gets to him first. But I'm going to grab that little guy that's going to have my last name and I'm going to bring him to me. That's the visual picture that Jesus says of the genuine believer when it comes to the gospel. They're a person that sees the beauty and the innocence and the simplicity of the gospel, and they want it with every fiber of their being. They admit that they're a sinner before a holy God. They see the beautiful Jesus Christ on the cross, and they say, I need him to take my sin. Lord, would you please do a work in my life? And that's the heart that bears the fruit. It's the only one of the four soils that you can be guaranteed is right with God and ready to go if today's your day. That's why it's so important. So this particular soil, if you just wanted to put some words to it, it's receptive and responsive. And then the kind of the words that I used, it's the seed that goes in, down, up, and out. I mean, it's producing fruit. It's got a transformed life. It's not just religion. It's not just surface. It's like heart stuff. And so I have to close because the time is up. And I'm not going to be near passionate enough about this, but soils 1, 2, and 3, if you say that they describe the pattern of my life, then Jesus is saying that you're not right with me for eternity. That's what the Scripture is saying, and that is serious. We don't try to shake people up just to do it, and this isn't a game we're playing, but you can be highly religious and totally lost. Do you know that? Jesus is saying, this is the first parable, and if you don't get this parable, he says later on, you won't get any of the parables. Jesus said, you shall know them by their fruit. What is there a transformed, genuine, authentic relationship with Christ? And so Jesus is saying, here's the good news for everybody here, because everybody here, one of these four represent your heart. The good news here is that if you have a hard heart, God will break it up. All you got to do is ask him. He did mine, he'll do yours. If you got a rocky heart, and it's like, man, it's never really penetrated deep into the recesses of my heart, God will clean that up. If you got a thorny heart, he'll uproot the thorns. Matter of fact, our phrase that we used at Lakeside when we started the church is, come as you are, leave different. So you don't dare wait to clean your life up and then say, I'll come to Christ. You come to Christ this morning and let him clean your life up. Amen? Religion says you clean it up and then God will accept you. A relationship says come to Christ and he'll clean you up. He can do so much better of a job, so it's good news. But what he's looking for every one of us, including the pastor here, is a receptive, responsive heart. And really the way that you respond today to God's word is going to reveal which kind of heart you have. That's the honest truth. And so normally when we get done, I'm going to pray here in just a second. We'll do the gold card. I'd sit down in front of them. I'm going to go to the back. And if there's anyone here that says, man, I don't think I'm good to go with God for eternity, then I'll pray with you. I'll talk with you. I'll encourage you. I'll do whatever needs to be done. Let me pray.
Hey, thanks for listening to the Lakeside Fellowship Podcast. If If you have any questions about this message, or if you'd like more information about our church, please don't hesitate to contact us. Thanks. We'll see you next week.